excuse me. Could I have just a moment of your time? No offense, but I want to get to know the real you. What's up, guys? It's your boy Matt Arrington, also known as Mr. No Offense to Some. If you have been to the No Offense podcast, then you already know what time it is. I'm about to introduce you to yet another amazing person of interest. As you can see behind me, we are live on Roku television as well. So if you're watching on a small screen or a mobile screen and you happen to be around a Roku TV or device and you want to just kick back, relax, and just listen a while, you can do that too. Go ahead and download the No Offense Network Roku app. Once you get into it, you want to find my guy Ryan Graves on the show today, click onto it and get the stream popping. Sit back, relax, but keep that phone in hand, because right here, right in the right corner that you're watching on, it says view chat. You can go ahead and join the chat. If you got any questions you want to ask, or if you hear, you know, if you hear something of interest, you want to kind of chime in, you're welcome to do that too. We'll pull it on screen so we can bring it into view and hear what Ryan's got to say about that. So you already know what it is, man. Go ahead, tap, share, do what you got to do. Because once again, we got the podcast. We're going to go ahead and bring my guy, Mr. Graves, on. So y'all got you can get to meet him. And for those of you who may not be aware, he does reside out in the Alabama area. So Alabama makes some noise. You got another one on the show. You know what I'm saying? We can get to learn about him, all about all his different talents and skills, his record label, and where he wants to go forward. So without further ado, let's get my guy on the stage. Let's make it happen, Kevin. What's happening, man?
How you doing this afternoon, man?
Bro, I am blessed and honored that you decided to come on the podcast, man, and let us introduce you to our audience, to get to know all about you, man, and hear some of your awesome plans for the future. Hear your humble beginnings, and give us a chance to get to know your personality in between. So, man, I'm just grateful to be in the presence, brother. You know what I'm saying? You ready to hop into this?
Yes, sir. I want to start by saying thank you and for this blessing to be on here and this opportunity, man. This is big for me, so I appreciate that.
So. Hey, man. The fact that we get to actually sit down and get to know you, man. Yes, I always say this, man. You can tell who's serious about their craft and who going places, right? So the fact that we get to sit down and talk to you guys and get to know who you are as you're doing this, man, the honor really is all ours, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that way, when we watch you, it's going to be so much more because we know your story. You know what I'm saying? And people can get behind that movement. As always, I like to start from the beginning. If you're going to build something fantastic, it's got to have a solid foundation. So you ready to hop into this thing?
Let's do it, man.
All right. Now, were you always part of Alabama, brother? Were you born and raised there? Or what, tell me about the childhood a little bit. Where'd you start?
We're going to say pretty much yes. I've been here since I was five. Me and my mother were here when I was first born, and then we moved to Missouri, but then I come back here with my father when I was five. And so I've been here pretty much. I'm an Alabamian, you could say, man. I've been here most of my life, 30 years, we say. I'm 35 years now, so.
For sure, man. So, I mean, and being right there in the middle, man, dude, you got to hear a little bit of everything. It wasn't just East Coast, man. You got like you said, Missouri. You got the KC and MO up there, man. God, yeah,
I've taken a lot of stuff, man. My music selection is very broad. I don't just stick to the South stuff.
I like that, man. That versatility definitely takes you far, man, and it opens a lot of doors, man. I feel like when artists come in a box, they kind of like limit their own. Like you can only go so far in the lane. You know what I'm saying? When you're going anywhere, eventually hits the destination. You know what I'm saying? You got to be able to keep it going. So that versatility, I feel like, really, really helps you out. Who were some of the people that you know you might have listened to younger, whether you like it or not? Just who were some of the people being played around you, man?
Well, believe it or not, when I was a kid, like really young, coming from where I came from, and at the time era, I didn't know what hip hop was, to be honest with you. I only knew what country music was. So I listened to a lot of that, and Probably back then, man, I was like a Garth Brooks fan and stuff like that. But as I, when I became a teenager, that's when I found out about Eminem. And
okay.
Yeah, so when I saw him too, and I a buddy of mine, we were sitting in middle school gym class, sitting on the bleachers. He passed me a magazine. I forgot the name of it. Word Up magazine, I think it was. But anyway, he passed me a magazine, and it had Eminem article on him, and he's like, "Here's the dude that's doing all that rap." And I was like, "Oh shit, he like me, man. He fair skin, blue eye. I can do this too."
Was this Marshall Mathers LP?
Yeah, that the one with the gray cut. I think that the LP.
Yeah. I got you. Damn, bro, that's great. That's crazy. Okay, so what do you remember? What's your favorite? Like, were you an Eminem fan, or you just happened to know he was doing this thing?
Oh, I'm a stan. Like, I became one. I'm the birth. Like, I was there as my whole childhood. You know what I'm saying? I was 12, 13 years old when Eminem came up and about. So I'm a whole stan. You know what I'm saying? I've been there for the whole journey of his career, my whole life, pretty much. So.
What was your favorite early on song? Was it like I'm Sorry Mama? Was it My Name Is? How My Name Is? What was your favorite go-to back then, man?
I was a little troubled as a youth and everything, so I kind of like that I'm a Criminal and that Kim song.
Oh yeah, okay, I got you.
I like that crazy, but I'm gonna be honest though. Also, Sing for the Moment.
Yeah.
It kind of really hits home and to my type of way of coming up as a kid and wanting to do this rap, and in Alabama too. You know what I mean?
They say music can alter moves and talk to you, but if it can't, yeah. I'm an Eminem fan too, bro. Like I actually got in trouble. It's funny that you said that because I actually got in trouble. I had a friend. See, back then we had CDs. I want to give y'all my age all the way. We had CDs.
That's what I'm
so I had a friend. Yeah, I had a friend sneak me a copy of an edited version. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't even know. I had when I got introduced to Eminem, I didn't even know that he'd go off like he go off. The first time I heard it was an edited clean version. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, man. So I get it. When you relate to him, man, you got some things going on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what part did music play for you at that point? Were you just a fan, or was it more like an escape for you as well? I mean, to try to resonate for him is
kind of music is more than music is life for me, man. You know what I mean? I love it with every part of my soul and passion that I have. I have a belief that music is the only thing on earth that we get to experience from heaven right now. You know what I'm saying?
That's deep, bro.
Because, I mean, who led it, and when they were cast out, they brought music with them. So that's the one thing on earth we get to experience from the heavens, bro. So music is like I love it. It's a go-to when I'm sad, if I need picking up, if I'm hyped. Music is, I knew music was going to be a part of my life at a very young age.
I understand. So at what age, man, bro, that was poetic, man. I'm definitely we definitely gonna clip that just so you know that's going around. So at what point did you decide, because like I said we always get to this point where you go from listening to music to, you know, I want to create that, or I have it in me, something I want to, you know what I'm saying, bring forth. What time was that with you? Did you realize like I want to go from listening to, I want to put me into this?
I'm going to have two little short answers for that, okay?
What?
One was when I was, I knew it all along, like I said, music was going to be something with me. I remember being 5, 6, 7 years old at my grandmama's house, standing on her brick fireplace. I'd have a guitar. I'd dress up with a hat and everything, and I would sing with the radio to her and stuff, like put on a little show. And I did that. And it may sound corny as can be, but like even as a teenager, I had to sneak listening to rap. So I put my headphones on with the portable CD player, you know, that had the little skip protection on it. And right. I would open up my bedroom closet door and hide behind it and had the TV remote like a microphone. And I'd sit there like I was rapping on stage. Yeah. But when I actually knew was about 4 years ago, I linked up with some old school friends or whatever, and they had a studio, and I just got in there trying it, and I saw how it was for us to be able to get our music out there now. to make a career out of this, being an independent artist. And I was like, okay, that's what I want to do. And
that was
I just kind of been running with it, man. I just knew, you know. But I know music is, like I said, for a long time. Since a little kid, I've always known, you know what I mean?
Now, when just now you said you know you would play the guitar. Are you also a musician? Like you actually play like any instruments?
No, I'm gonna say no because I haven't touched one in so long that I'm kind of, you know what I mean. But I used to play a lot when I was a teenager and stuff. But
lost it. Were you trained or you were teaching yourself?
I was going to some classes and everything, and then some of it was self-taught. I would watch on YouTube and stuff, and you know what I mean? I'd go watch the people that was playing, like the artists. I'd go watch the music videos and pause and see where their fingers were and trying to do stuff.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was, okay. I grew up with a bunch of music. Like, I play a ton of music, but when I could never really get into like I wanted to was the guitar. I play piano. I think guitar. See, and that's how I always run into. It's always like this. Like, so I end up running into somebody and they play guitar, but they don't play piano. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, I play piano, but I admire the guitar, man. I think y'all work magic on that thing. I just couldn't. And we get the concept of like theory. Like I get the chords. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But it's just still when it comes to applying it, man. It's just, I feel like those of you guys who could play, man, it's like y'all, it's watching a professional do their thing versus me. I'm trying to figure out where I'm putting my hands and stuff like that. And
I just asked my daddy. My daddy has a guitar, an acoustic guitar and an amp, and he never plays. And I was like, you need to let me buy it off of you. Go on and let me get it back so I can get back in my rhythm and stuff, you know?
That's what I was getting ready to ask you. If you had the chance, would you visit like a instrument for like theory, or is there a certain sound that you particularly are, you know, favor as you're making tracks, that or an instrument that you gravitate more toward other than the guitar?
I like when I'm listening to some tracks and everything. I like piano tracks a lot myself. And I love if a good trumpet is in there too. Now I love only other instrument I would really like to really learn though is that piano, like you were saying. I would like to really learn how to do that piano. Something about the piano is just smooth, man. It's just
I feel like on the opposite side, that's how we feel about why, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least the pianists that I run into, that, you know, again, that's, I think we both long for that. You know what I'm saying? On each side of the spectrum there. Okay. So, entering your friend's studio, you said about 4 years ago, this was your first time recording?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. I mean, I played around with it before and other people's little stuff, and, you know, just at some other little halfway studios or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, he had one and it was the most professional sounding at the time and everything. And so I was getting in there and I really was just finding myself, you know what I mean? And I'll be honest, I wasn't on beat half the time. My timing issue was a mess, and I was real sloppy when I got in there, dude.
Everybody does, but the first couple times, nobody hops in there perfect.
Yeah. It took me a minute, man. It took me a minute.
That's what's up. So how were you able to find your particular sound? I know you go from listening, so let me back up. So you go from listening to music, when you get the finished product, by the time we hear it, it's been mixed, mastered, you know what I'm saying, distributed, whatever they're going to do to it. You're getting a polished version. How did you enjoy the journey of finding your sound, now going into the studio and seeing what goes into that, like making that polished sound that we get?
At the beginning, man, it was frustrating because I had a lot of people. It was a lot of backlash, and you know, everybody loves to tell you the negative parts of it. Man, they came with it too. I was like, "Woo!" So it was very frustrating at the beginning. But once I started figuring out, and I had a little buddy of mine. I wish I knew his artist name. I'd say it, but he's one of the most talented people down here. He's like the Little Wayne of our area, and he come over one day, and we really worked one-on-one, and he started showing me how to find my pocket, my lane. And once he helped me with that, man, I was like, oh, there we go.
Took off.
It just started going a lot better. I knew what I wanted.
I've got to ask this. How you sound when you hear yourself?
Yes, sir.
Versus the voice in your head?
It's totally different. Totally different, man. I'm one of the type of artists when I record, I don't even turn it on, like the vocal part on, to where I can hear myself in the headphones. I just cut it off. I just pull one earphone back a little bit so I can hear myself a little bit here. Because if I try to do it like that, I hate how I sound, man. But I hate how I sound, but I have a lot of people that tell me, man, I love your voice. Your voice is unique. It's different. I'm like, man, that it's trash. So,
that's not what I'm hearing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Man,
I sound amazing. I have all this going on, but when I hear it back, I'm like, whoa, that needs to work right there.
Man, that unprocessed voice, man. It always does that, because I feel like for people who've never actually went to the studio, because like you said, people give you criticism. People give you criticism. They love to criticize. They hear it. A lot of times people don't realize the hard work that actually goes into the finished product. So, you know, you going from listening to a polished version and then actually putting the work in, you know what I'm saying, when you first started, to getting that, I feel like it breeds a different type of appreciation for hearing others' art when you know what actually goes into it.
Yeah, it really does. And it also aggravates, it's again frustrating, because now when I'm an engineer myself, I do all my music and everything. Yeah. And now listening to another artist's song, sometimes I'll hear some of the, I'll be like, man, why did you go with that route? You could have went this route, you know? So that's a little thing about being an engineer now. It's like you hear stuff that you wouldn't have heard before.
Facts. Well, then going from there, how long have you been? Did you become an engineer after you started recording the first time?
No. That became a journey. At first I was trying to do my own thing, and I recorded at my old friend's studio or whatever, and I had then joined a small label and for a brief period of time. And then we just parted our ways on our journey. And when I parted ways from there, I was kind of at a crossroads at everything in life. And I had to look at stuff. I had to either quit recording or learn how to do this myself. You know what I mean? Because money, I still live everyday life. So money, I don't have this to throw into that. So I got on YouTube and I just started watching videos, and I started learning some software programs, and I was like, I'm pretty smart with computers, man. Let me just try some stuff. And I turned out being pretty good at it.
Man, I believe
I'm a better engineer than I am a rapper. I will say that.
I believe YouTube University has graduated more students than any college in the world.
I tell everybody, there is a free college. You want to go to college, it's on your TV, in your living room. It is free, bro. Just go.
I always tell people, listen, you got the world in your hands, man. On a smartphone. Yeah. It's the internet is right there. You can find out what you want to know. It's just you got to do more than that other stuff that everybody do when they on there. You know what I'm saying?
You got to apply the work and the effort, man. You got to apply the muscle.
For sure. Now, because I feel like most producers, especially if you're an independent route, we end up coming across this engineering journey because of the same similar situation. You realize it takes much. Like when we hear music business, before you get into the business, you don't hear the business part.
Yeah. You just think, hey, let me get in the studio, spin some balls, and I'm going to get some money.
Yeah.
It'd
be money. It's money involved. So I feel like, especially, I feel like that's the determining factor that I run into with a lot of independent artists, if they're going to make it or not. It becomes like, so they hit that crossroad right there where you're at, where to find it. You're like, hey, this stuff, it costs money. It costs money to get song track. It costs money to record. It costs money to get a track finished. Like if you're going to actually do it, And so you do run into that, either I'm gonna pick up a hustle so I can afford this, not a hobby, because now this is something serious you're doing. But or am I gonna like I got either way I believe the answer becomes I gotta figure this out because I have to overcome this obstacle. And I'm always love to see people who become the engineers because I feel like for one, like you said, when you have to learn the craft behind making the music, you get a different appreciation. And then two, you get closer to that actual voice in your head. It's one thing when you're trying to tell a person what you're trying to get out,
There
but
it is.
it's another thing when you know what you're trying to do. Like, yo, I'm gonna go
You
in
know
here
how,
and
yeah, you know how hard it is to take this sound that you have right here and try to tell this man how to put that sound on there? You
Man,
can't. It just don't link up the same.
how did it change your life becoming an engineer? Becoming the engineer. I mean, I know you had that the learning curve that everybody goes up, but when you started figuring it and not understanding what was actually going on, how did that change your how did that change
It
your
really
game?
it fixed a lot of like it fixed a lot of my time, and it taught me how to record differently to get a more professional sound, how to like punch in record. Even though I'm a writing artist, I write everything down. I record in sections of the beat now for controlled breathing, so everything's not just rushed or out of get breath and all this. It taught me a lot, man. It taught me how to really perfect my sound and other artists' sounds, like, you know what I mean? I got to learn how to do effects, like apply some reverb here, some maybe a little pitch shift here and there, all that, how to do that. And it's been interesting, and it's helped me out as an artist a lot too. Figuring out, like you said, like with my sound, when I was started doing it myself, I started knowing what I wanted to do here and there, and it's been fun. It's been It's that's that part's been fun.
It's fulfilling now. Like when you think about it from like what you know now versus that first day on YouTube, bro, how you feel?
Dude, I was serious. Like I when people was asking me, like, you got a studio, let's record, and I'm like, I kept telling them no. I was like, no, I'm just not ready. But in reality, I was just nervous. I was so nervous. Like, I don't know why. I was like, I'm gonna mess up, it's gonna be trash. It's like, no, I just can't do it, man. It's just, no. But once I got in there, I got over that fear, and I've been running with it.
I'm definitely glad that you were able to develop that skill, bro. And I mean, I heard the music, bro. Like I said, when I told you before off camera, it's definitely industry ready. It sounds, man. If a DJ is to slide that into the playlist, it sounds like it belongs. You know what I'm
That
saying?
song
It
go
just,
that song is pressure too. The one that you
yeah.
heard, that one needs to go somewhere. And that comes with going back to that talk about the money. That's probably more on my part, because working every, like trying to do this every day, you know, there's money in the promo, and I slack on promo sometimes, you know what I mean? And get caught up in real life paying it too much instead of what over here on the artist stuff sometimes.
That's
So
but you hit on an important thing too. I think a lot of people don't, again, talking about, you know, when you hear the music business, a lot of people don't hear the business part. I don't know if it slides out of their ear or what, but there's so much more that goes in, like this, like making a song as much of a process as that is, that's just the beginning.
that's the easy part. Now it's time for the work. Now it's time for the real money, where it comes into play.
Man.
Getting it out there, because, man, to get like a lot, I was watching that one interview clip of, I forgot who it was, but they said to get the song to be ready on the radio,
Sorry about that.
yeah, it's like, oh, I heard it was 200, but 500, still, that's a lot of money to get a song out. And every person ain't got that. I ain't got nowhere near that to spend.
They
So.
don't understand. They don't understand. Yeah, and they thinking you lucky if you got that at one time. Because I know people feel like that's a lump sum, like you just need that on standby. But no, that's easy grouping it. It's about how that money is spent, right? So you got to go on the promos, you got to go on the podcast. Well, now we got podcast, but now you said the radio runs, the TV ads, the bit like you, the street teams, the like,
Yes,
you know what I'm
everything.
saying? Like you want to like the song is great. But do you want them to hear it?
Exactly.
like, bro, and that's I feel like that's also the learning curve. But I said the same thing. It's once you learn it, once you know it, you know it. You know what I'm saying? And then you can move from there. Let's going back to your you know, beginning engineering stuff.
Yes.
Have you found your favorite program? I know you got many tools.
It was a lot of people. I do. No, I really don't have a lot, man. Because I like to keep stuff very simple and like, you know what I mean. Even with the finances, bro. And there's a lot of good expensive programs out there. I know that, and a lot of people use them. And the program I use is free. It's completely free all day long on my laptop. I don't pay one dime for it. It's a Cakewalk. I love Cakewalk. It's very simple. It's powered by BandLab, which is that.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it's powered by Ableton. But man, I love it.
BandLab. You know, okay. So I don't think I've ever actually used BandLab.
But I've
heard. I think you're about the second or third. I feel like it doesn't matter what brush you use. It's about the finished masterpiece. So I don't have any stigma about either. But I do know that and they're all awesome programs. But I know people usually have their preferences. So you found that's the, like, which ones did you try, or is that the first one that went into and you learned it?
I have recorded on Adobe
Audition.
Audition. I was trying to think because there's Adobe Premiere for the videos and everything. I was getting confused for a second. But Adobe Audition. I've recorded on that for a while. Uh-huh. I've done Pro Tools before, and I like it too and everything. But again, we're living real life, and I'm kind of a single dad and everything.
It's expensive, bro.
It's some of that stuff's just too much to keep up with. So I was like, let me see what out there I can do on a budget, because I really love this, dude.
Yeah.
And so I found, like I said, I saw that Cakewalk thing, man, and I started downloading some VST plugins and everything. Started getting me some effects and all that, and then boom, I've just been operating. You can go to any one of my newer songs, the Never Missing, On My Way, Ran It Up, Quick Attention, all those were recorded right here behind me on that Cakewalk program.
That's what's up, bro. I've gotten to a point now where I don't doubt nothing like that. It's all,
yeah.
With me, I should never be able to tell where you recorded at. That's what I. Oh, that's, oh my bad. I think we it's not you, but I did it. It was me. My bad. I had a keyboard. I should never be able to tell where you recorded at. That's how good it, you know, the mix is, and that's how I felt, bro. Like,
I got about $300 in my whole setup, bro.
Bruh. Hey, if it's getting the job done, that's what we call smart moves, man. You know what I'm saying? Any business is about, you know, how much you invest versus how much you pull out. So shit, you win it. You win it. You know what I'm saying? I ain't mad at you at all.
I'm gonna tell you what the secret element is. It's the house they actually live in. It's good it's good for vocals and everything. The sound in this house is awesome for recording, bro.
Man, hey, but that's how you know you're living your purpose, though, man. The law of the line. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad that you pursued it. You like Cakewalk. After you've recorded the song.
Yes.
Is there a favorite distributor of yours that you like to use? I know some people argue about United Masters. You got DistroKid. Now
I use Distro.
DistroKid, that's personal. I just like
their platform. I like how that it's easy to do. I can easily upload my track or any artist that I mess with. I can upload their tracks easily from my iPhone. You know what I mean? And they don't take none of my royalties or nothing. Like, I think United Masters takes 10% no matter what.
Man, it's the beginning of the year. People are getting paid, and I'm seeing all the complaints go up.
Hey, man.
I'm seeing all the complaints go up on social.
everybody thinks that we, like, you make money off this music. Man, them streams don't pay like that. We need all our change off that little stuff.
Yes.
Streams don't pay. We have to come up with merch lines and stuff to get paid now, you know?
Man, it's and we're gonna make our way to that. I just wanted to, we're gonna make our way to that and get to the record label. I just wanted to make sure, you know, I touch on this. Okay, so
But this is a little distro there. I like their whole thing about it.
cool, good, good, good. Now, was it trial and error, or you luckily stumbled? Because, you know, like I said, with the internet, with the independent game around, it's so much easier than it was pre like when we grew up, man. You know, when we grew up, when you listen to Marshall Mathers EP or LP, you know what I'm saying? When you listen to him, he recorded that in a studio, and he was signed to a label,
Yeah,
and you know what
that's
I'm saying?
hard
It
to
was
do
a
back in the
big,
time.
yeah. But now we got the internet, we've got the home devices, we've got, you know, the equipment that you can buy. You can literally, you know what I'm saying, produce from your home, as you know.
Yep.
But there's a ton of options and programs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everybody wants to provide the service. So were you blessed to? So, like, was DistroKid your first
DistroKid
people
was
that you
my
was in?
first. Yeah, it
Okay.
was my first, and I've been with them ever since. I have looked at other stuff, but I still rock with Distro. The guy spoke about that his label. They started recording me first. His name is Serum, and he's the one that put me on all of this. He's a local artist around here. He has a label called Young Goat Enterprise. He's the one that kind of showed a lot of us how to do it, this stuff. Him and Sick with it from Brooklyn, New York, but he resides down here. They kind of showed and taught a lot of us a lot of game about how to get the music and record and get it out there and stuff. And when they kind of put us on the game, and I just saw it, and it's affordable, bro. They do everything. They get it everywhere you need it to be. They do everything you need them to do. Like I said, it was just once I got on there, I didn't go nowhere else. It was my decision to stay there. I like it. I'm sure
That's
there's
what it
probably something better somewhere, and it just hasn't came to me yet. But once I'm sure when it's time, it'll be revealed. But
Hey, I always say, man, you're right where you're supposed to be. You know what I'm like, you find what you need when you need it. You know what I'm saying?
yes, sir.
I was just curious because, I mean, like we said, we don't know until we ask. And if it's been working, bro,
They
if it
I
ain't
like
working,
how
I'll fix
they,
it.
for an independent person, I like how even if you had no intentions and no label or nothing like that, when you upload your song, you can even put on there, it says record label, and then you can put your own little deal under there for you know what I'm saying, your brand.
For
And
sure.
plus, but they have the label package, which I have, but I like that. They give you that option to become something, you know what I mean? And build a company and be somebody. And
It's not
it,
just
that,
you're not
it's
just
a
there to
good,
drop off a song. It's what are you
yeah,
gonna do with it?
they make you feel like you're a business, or you know what I'm saying? That you're achieving some stuff a little bit in a sense to me. That's how I feel. That made me feel good.
I like that. I like that. Well, shout out to DistroKid. That's what we distribute through too. So it's like shout out to DistroKid. But it's good to hear
Yeah.
that. You know what I'm saying? That artists really do appreciate, you know, the platform. All right. So we go from, you know, you hit the studio for the first time. You realize at a point in your career as you're doing this that you need to figure out how to produce your own music or how to at least edit, record your own music.
Yeah.
We move into how did you get to the point where, you know, you're not doing this for you no more. You wanna open a record label.
Oh, man. Because I love doing this, and like I said a minute ago, I'm actually a better engineer than I am a rapper or an
Is this
artist.
personal opinion? Is this personal opinion or this is a popular opinion? What's up?
I would say it's probably a part, like it's personal and popular with me. And I got a business partner and some other people, and they'd be like, "Yeah, you fire with the engineer." Like, you know what I mean?
I
And
right. Your circle will keep it
it's
real with Jeffy. I got you.
They'll tell me too. Hey, no, that rap, that song ain't it. That verse ain't it. Your timing ain't it. They'll still tell me.
But that's love, though. You want people who are going to check you like that
Oh
before we get out the
yeah.
door. You
Don't want
know
no
what I'm
yes
saying?
man, bro. I don't want no yes man.
So Graceland, tell me about, you know, what how this idea kicked off, where the name came from, and what's its purpose, and some of the artists on the roster.
You ready for a little trip?
I'm
We're
out.
gonna
Let's
go
go, brother.
before all this happened. I had a hairstyle that was going on, man, and let's start off by saying this. Elvis Presley, he died August 16th, 1977, and then I was born August 16th, 1988. All right, he was
Okay.
known of the King of Rock and Roll. If you put my name Ryan into Google Translation, it says Little King.
That's crazy.
And then we go farther with this. Like, he made a career off of black man music. You know, I'm a white man. That's, you know what I'm saying?
I have to say, you the realest one to come on the show and say that, my dog. I'm fucking with you.
I'm serious, bro. And then my hair, I had the whole hair, the Elvis hairstyle, bro. Just to touch sentimental part real quick, my grandmother used to tell me on my birthday all the time, she said, because she was an Elvis fan, she said, baby, on this day, a king died, but another king was born. She used to tell me that all the time when I was growing up as a little kid. So I just kind of had a connection with Elvis, and I was like, it's also a household name where people can put it wherever.
Right.
And I'm not just wanting to be a rapper. My label is not about just rap music. So I was like, Graceland just kind of seems Graceland music. You know what I mean?
And that's what's up.
Just kind of feel like I had a good feeling to everything.
So you've got more than hit. What is it? Is it a label that's particular to a certain genre, or you've got a little bit of everything on there?
Say I was the main one for the longest because I by myself to do my own thing, but I knew I wanted some other people under me at some point. And then I've recorded other artists and they've released on my label, but they're not part of me or whatever. They have done, I don't know how you would classify his genre, but he an artist named BK, he was phenomenal. Awesome vocals and stuff. He's got a song called Empty Bottles that is awesome, man. But I got a girl named Takarta Works. She does R&B type.
Okay.
I have another 20-year-old rapper named Big Wiggy. He kind of got that northern drill type sound, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And then I have another guy. He is probably the best artist I've ever heard in Alabama, like as a hip-hop artist since Yellow Wolf, man. Cold Hearted Ken is his name. He's got a song called, he's got the whole EP out, 5-track EP called Long Time. And man, if you like YFN Lucci, then you'll love this dude right here. Like, that's the only time to say to compare that man. But like, he is probably, in my opinion, he is the best artist in the state of Alabama, right? Like, that I've heard.
Man, hey, look, that's a lot riding on the back, man. When you say that, nah. All right, hey, listen, but listen,
bro, like just naturally, like just with him being so young and everything, like, and there's no real polishing or training on him, no molding to be a real artist to make that career. You know what I'm saying? If you ever get them hands on him and get that control, like, he can be so freaking big, bro. Like, I'm just saying, like, that boy's got so much potential, man.
So right now, what level that he's at, it's like he it's effortless for him, but most people would have to
be
trained to that.
Man, and he don't write nothing down.
Oh, okay. Like, so like you got a problem on your hands.
Yeah, he's telling you real stories, and they're making sense on the songs, and they're coming out perfect. He is so naturally talented at this stuff, man. Like, I'm telling you, this kid is blessed.
Man, that's what's up, man. Hopefully, we'll get the chance to get to meet him, brother. So let's follow your journey.
Yes, sir.
Again, sorry. So you find out you want to do music. You go to your to homie studio. You record for the first time. You continue your music. You continue your music. You get to a point where you know you've got a either engineer or put more money. It's, you know what I'm saying? It's do or die time, man. Yeah. What are you going to do? So you decide to do. You become an engineer. You start. You get your craft up. And at this point, you're working with other artists. You're producing under your label. How does it feel going from listening to music as a fan to now you're creating music, you're engineering music for others, and you're hearing these different styles, and you're hearing the different personalities in these styles. You're seeing the different performance of these styles, and you working in between the different styles. Did you think that one day when you started it was going to be this way?
No, I did not. I thought I was going to be in my own little lane here, but man, my variety is wide because I am an engineer and I look for sounds. Like, I'll hear some stuff on an artist, and I'm like, that might sound good over here. I'm gonna go learn how they did that on that effect, so I can try my applied over here on this artist here. That sounds, you know what I mean? So I really liked it, and I like listening to when I do listen and branch out and hear other artists. I love to try to hear, like I just said, different things. Something that is inspiring that I can try different on my track or one of my artist's track.
How do you register? I mean, I know you're working with these artists, you know what I'm saying? And I imagine you're doing different sessions and different times and dates. How is it that you grow this relationship with this artist to know this sound is like, this is where we need to go? You know, because I mean, I'm sure these artists know, they trust you to some point as the engineer, you know what I'm saying? To give, you know, either their opinion or to ensure that their track sounds like what it is that they're trying to do to complete the project. So how do you know that this particular sound is going to be perfect for this particular part? Or is it just always trial and error? Like you just basically cataloging everything and we throw everything in and see what sticks?
I usually tell them before they come. I didn't mean to cut you off, brother,
No, I got you.
but I usually tell them before they come over, hey, come over with something in mind that you want to try. And when we come over the first time, that's what I do. We don't even record the first time we meet. I have them come over, we sit down, we have a conversation for a little while. I get to feel them out as a person first. You know what I mean? Make them feel, because if they don't feel welcome or they don't feel some kind of connection, they're not going to record proper. They're going to be jittery or nervous or something, and it's not going to come out right. So I just vibe out with them and I let them play. I throw on some instrumentals or whatever. I just let them naturally start flowing in front of me, just sitting on the couch or something, you know, and just show me what you got. Just play around with it. If you mess up, you mess up. Just keep going. We'll do something else. And we do that. And then once, like my to Carter Works, when she hit me with that song, she got out Silly Me. And when I knew when she started doing it, she was even nervous and her voice was shaky. And I was like, it's just, look, we here, it's just me and you. Like, just do it. Just let it out. She started doing it and I knew I could hear it. Like, I don't know. I got an ear. I just know when something is right and when it's not. You know what I mean? I know if it's going to be something. And then when I heard it, I was like, yeah, this is it.
That's it.
This
Just
is
that's
it.
gotcha, gotcha. So, how is it working with the different? Because obviously, like you said, these artists are different skill levels. How do you? What's the shortest? Like, are you at a point where you got certain people that can come in? You know, like we get together, we do something. It's gonna take me a week or two to get that knocked out. And then you got other people where you're like, we work extensively. Like our projects are like, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be like so and so a month, or is it just like a pretty much standard turnaround time for everybody?
I like to schedule the sessions by hourly or whatever. Now they can book me all day or whatnot, but I like, and what I mainly really like to do too, because I don't like to give away too much sauce and secrets, you know what I'm saying?
Which I
So
understand, yes, sir.
I'll record the artist a lot of times, and then I will ask them. I'll be like, okay, cool. Once we get everything done, ad libs, in and outs, whatever, every vocal track is recorded. We got everything timed and everything's in place. You know what I mean? I let them hear it raw like that, but then I'll apply some minor effects to stuff, but not much. And then I tell them, I'll send it to you tomorrow, because then once they leave,
You can go ahead.
I got the from an interview from Eminem. He said that Dr. Dre. Watching Dr. Dre kicks everybody out the studio, even him himself, and he lets nobody see his magic. So I actually had the artist leave, and then I work on it myself in private, and then I send it to him, and then bam, we go from there. They might come back over and like, let's talk, let's do this.
I just said, yeah, I think you got a call or something.
I
There you go. I think
apologize
you came
about
back. No, no, no problem. It happens. Go ahead, brother.
my bad. Somebody tried to come through on that. I apologize.
No problem, bro. Hey, that just means you're a great engineer, man. It's probably trying to get in the studio. No, no problem, brother. It happens. No issue. But you were saying, yeah, Dr. Dre kicks everybody. Yeah, I appreciate any sauce you can give, but I don't expect you to give away your trade secrets either.
No,
You
I'm
know
just
what I'm saying?
saying, I, you know,
Yeah.
we're talking about them artists. I kick them out because I don't You know what I'm saying? I kick them out, and then I do my work, and then I'll email them the track the next day or whatnot, and that's how they'll get it. And then they might, if they'll tell me, hey, I wouldn't change this, I want to change that, and I'll be like, okay, and then I'll do it, and then, you know, we'll go from there. But a lot of times I don't let nobody see me engineer and do what I do. Plus, I like to work alone. I like to – it's too distracting with somebody else in here with me, so I like to be by myself, and I just get it done.
I understand. That solitude. Okay, that's what's up. So tell me about Drip, man. You obviously got the drip on. You know what I'm saying? Tell me about how the label started, where they can pick it up. What's up?
This is actually called Diamond Drip.
Diamond Drip.
Okay. Yeah, it's a big logo of diamond. This is the cartoon edition. I don't know if we can see it that well in the camera.
Yes, sir.
It's a little logo or a little. It's this merch that I come up with, a brand, because I was sitting there at my son's football game, and I was like, I wanted to get into fashion so much, man. And I was sitting there with my son's mother and her boyfriend. We was all having a conversation, and I said, man, what's a four-letter word that is fire? And I had already the diamond drew up, you know what I mean? And I was like, what's a four-letter word that would be fire for? Because, you know, businesses, logos, the object's four letters.
Right, gotcha.
And my son's mother, she looked at me and she said, drip. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, and it had the drips in it. So it kind of just worked. And I kind of been going with it. Again, I'm small there, so I use everything like a print-on-demand company. I use and I sell my stuff through Shopify.
Trust me, brother, I get it. For one, let me commend you. For one, entrepreneur, you're killing it, bro. You know what I'm saying? Yes, I know it ain't easy from one to another, bro. I know it ain't easy, but you're killing it, bro. You're doing your damn thing, bro. You know what I'm saying?
I got shoes. I got sweatpants. We got boxer briefs, socks. We got beanies, sweatshirts, obviously. I mean, we got a lot of stuff on there. We got home product. We got like pillows. We got some towels. I got kids. My son, 8-year-old, well, he's gonna be 9, but he's got his own clothing line, which is called Supwear, and that's for kids. So, you got a little key line on there.
All this was available at the link that you gave me?
I might need to put my store on there, but I will tell them if you're on Shopify, it's Graceland Music, it's Shopify or whatever. You can just type in, when you're on there, that little search the stores, and then type in Graceland Music, and then bam, you'll see my logo on there, and then that's my whole store.
Facts. I will, asking for your article. So when I do the article, I'll make sure to get the links in there, man, so that people can click on it and
get it to you for the article, for sure.
For sure. All right, brother. So what's up for Graceland Records and Ryan Graves in the next 5 years? What are some things that you want to try to accomplish? I ain't going to say try to accomplish. I see you already knocking stuff. What are some things you are going to accomplish here in the next 5 years, my man?
One, we're going to be able to accomplish to where we're – the music is the actual career, you know what I mean? And not having to do the outside stuff, work these jobs and everything. Because I still work construction every day. I'm ready to stop working construction.
I understand. You
know? And so that's one of the major goals, to get it all the way launched up and out of the part, like separate the business from personal a little bit, get outside of the house so much and get a building. And really, I'm trying to learn how to do the, like, get my artists out there on the tours, like get them on stages and stuff. That's my three biggest things I'm trying to do.
Well, brother, I definitely believe if it can be done, you're gonna get it done. Have you done any shows? Have you done any shows yourself?
Sir. Yes, sir. I've done quite a bit. Not just in Alabama. I've done a good bit in Opelika for a promoter, Black Network Entertainment.
Okay.
And I like working with her, Tavani Bryant, and she's a good show promoter. I went all the way to South Carolina performing for her. She got me a connection with Mike Beasy. I don't know if you know who that is.
Okay. Facts.
But I got a song with him, so she got me plugged in. We did a song together. And she almost got me a distribution deal with Sony, but I didn't. Not her whole doings. It was another person that was kind of on partner.
Yeah.
But I didn't really want to go with Sony. I don't want to say what I'm doing.
I understand. Hey, man, you got to do what feels right, for sure. Shout out to the promoter. Definitely. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? For doing the thing. In this game, bro, it's everybody's learning, but sometimes you just run into people who don't do it right. So shout out to the promoter for definitely getting you on those stages. And your artist, man, it sounds like you really care about the art. It sounds like you really know these artists, and are taking a ear to their different sounds. So I expect to see them soon, man. I mean, you got this engineering down, brother. I gotta say this. It takes a humble person to say, I do this better than this. You know what I'm saying?
I'm honest with it, man. I mean, I could write, like, when I say I'm a better engineer than a rapper.
Yeah, you're not a bad rapper. Like, that's the thing. Like, so I don't want nobody to take it that way. Like, yeah, he's not a bad rapper at all. Go check out his music, like, for real. He's on the shit.
I'm a dope rapper. As a lyricist, bro, I'm fire as a lyricist. But, again, man, sometimes my delivery and the way that I do it on the track isn't. Acapella could have been harder. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Sometimes.
You know, that's the writer. I'm a writer, bro. Like I and all the different things that we do if we get the time, right? But I get you. Like, I would rather write than come off the head anytime. Cause writing is different. You know what I'm saying? You write with intention. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I get you. Sometimes the music just, it ain't the same. You gotta hear and understand what's going on. You to get it. I get you.
And writing for me, I love it. It's a love-hate relationship, because when I'm writing, I've been getting, like, especially here lately, like, I'm one of them to where I like to rhyme inside of my rhyme. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been doing that a lot here lately, and it gets, I love it, but I hate it, because you're trying so much different stuff.
It's crazy. So, like I said, I'm an Eminem fan, and one of his verses, I always, for the first time I heard it, to now, I'm always trying to intrigue him when he said, "From since birth, I've been birthed with this curse that's just cursed." Yeah. And I was like, "Dude, that's fucking G." Like, you know, excuse my leg. I was like, "Yo, that's deep, bro." Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying. I know that seems simple to people, but
what a lot of people don't pay attention to.
Yeah.
When listening to that man.
Yeah.
Listen to cadences.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of folks will take. See, it's not just the lyrical part that we're listening to with that man that makes him so great. It's the fact that them cadence, how he controls his, like, ups, downs, his highs, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, I'm always say, like, and I know people go back and forth. I look at skill. This game has birthed a lot of skill. This game has evolved a lot. But when we talk about what I call technical writers or great writers, like, you can't disregard Eminem, bro.
No,
like, he has to be in the conversation. I ain't saying, like, you don't, like, it wouldn't be right to, like, you know what I'm saying? Come on, man. He got to be in the conversation. There, he didn't solidify that, bro. Yeah. Now, people can feel how they want to feel about the greatest. I'm not really going to argue with that. But all I'm saying is when you name a great lyricist, he got to be in the conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Like, or else. He's inspired me a lot to do what I do and stuff, but what was I gonna say? Like, I was talking about his cadences, man. That's one thing that I was like, damn, I wish I could really learn. That's what I'm trying to learn as an artist right now. We talking about another thing that I don't like me as a rapper part.
Yeah,
I'm trying to learn cadence. Sometimes my cadence just stays flat. It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's the consistent.
Right.
I don't really like that. I want to start learning how to do a little bit more and a little bit harmonizing and stuff.
Well, as long as you think you can grow, like I always say, man, as long as you can see where you can work at, bro, you're on your way to greatness. The problem be when people feel like, oh, I'm not okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's when it starts to, because only a fool believes they can't grow in some way. You know what I'm saying?
I'm always trying to grow. There's so much that I want to do different. I'll be telling some of the artists that are recording, and I'm engineering them, and I'm recording them personally. And when we come to a stopping point, I'll be like, man, I envy the fuck out of you for being able to do that. Like, I want to know how to do that so bad. And, like, I'm telling them I love being able to do that, but I just can't.
Yeah. It's coming, bro. Anyway, you uniquely you, bro. That's what comes to the game. You know what I'm saying? That's you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I got to add, like, as an engineer, you listen to them record. You ever come across a moment where you just be like, damn, like, hey, like you're hearing them in real time as they record, But you know what I'm saying? When you hear it, you ever come across them, they say something crazy, you just like, damn, bro. Wow. You know, like just something that's like just game changing. You know what I'm saying? But you're hearing it first, obviously, as they're spitting into the mic versus the rest of the world. Like, you already know, like, when this one come out, this one right here gonna change the game type. Like, I know you told me about the guy that you said is the best in Alabama, but
yeah.
How often does that happen? Like, you know what I'm saying? That you're hearing them say something like that, like mind blowing while you record.
Oh,
I just say you got to put nobody out. Sometimes, let's be honest, it don't be like, you know what I'm saying? You can't tell them that, but because it's creative, but hear something that blow your mind.
Like, I'll hear some stuff like, now every artist that comes in, I try to, there's always a favorite part of their song that stands out to me personally.
Gotcha.
And like my partner Big Wiggy, like when we did his song Life I Live, I was trying to think of the name of that Life I Live song, and he said slide in the riddle, hop out on that gorillas, and the way he just did that, I was like, bro, that shit hard, bro, like that whole little flow pattern when he was doing it, I was bobbing my head all the time. I was like, man, that shit gonna bang, bro. Like,
Go ahead, bro. What you saying?
No, I was gonna say, I had another dude one time. Well, actually, the Sick With It on My Way song of mine.
Yeah.
Bro, when we was in here, and he's got so much energy when he records anyways. When he's the type of artist, when he walk in the studio, he kind of, it takes all the light come to him, you know what I mean? Because he is the energy. And he did that verse for me on that song. And when he did, I was like, oh my Lord, bro, this shit finna go. Like, this is industry quality, bro. This is it.
It's definitely, y'all definitely on your way, bro. If y'all ain't checked out the track, you got to make sure that you, man, matter of fact, right after this, man, it's on all DSPs, right?
Yes, sir. It's everywhere.
Y'all got homework, man. Right,
Music,
right.
Spotify, iTunes, everywhere.
Man, where it is, y'all got homework. So, Ryan, man, if you can, brother, I definitely appreciate your time coming through and letting us get to know you on the platform. Do me a favor, one last favor, if you don't mind. Please let them know where they can get all your music, how they can follow you. One more time for the links and where they can find you on all social media, things like that, where they can follow your journey, where they need to basically go follow you right after this, man, so they can show their support.
Yeah, you can go find me on Apple Music, on the Ryan Graves, Spotify Ryan Graves. YouTube is Graves the Rapper. You can find me on TikTok as I Am Ryan Graves 1. Instagram is I Am Ryan Graves. Facebook, Graceland Music, Facebook, Ryan Graves. You can go to Shopify, to Graceland Music, and order some Diamond Drip from us. So I appreciate everybody for having me on here. Blessed opportunity. Thank y'all.
Hey, it was definitely our pleasure, man. Thank you for coming through, Ryan, man. Like we said, we're going to do more work together, brother. I'm excited. I'm going to get some clips cut for you, get this article up for under your video on the website so I can get it over to you. It's been an honor and a pleasure, man, to get to know about you. And we're definitely going to be supporting and on the lookout for things that's coming from Graceland and you, Mr. Graves, going forward.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all so much for having me, man.
We appreciate you, G.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right, you guys. This is going to conclude our interview with Ryan Graves, man. I'm like, as y'all saw, guy's very humble, man. Make sure that you're on the lookout for Graceland. Shout out to Alabama, man. You know what I'm saying? Y'all definitely had a real, real gentleman on the show. If you, whatever platform you might listen to music to, whether it be Apple Music, whether it be Spotify, whether it be YouTube Music, wherever you can get it, go look up Ryan Graves, man. At least that went on My Way, bro. It's sliding. If I'm lying, my name would be Mr. No Offense, but it is. So I have been Mr. No Offense. You guys have been absolutely wonderful. Don't wait for the world to change when you want to change the world. And I'll catch you on the next episode of the No Offense Podcast. Peace.